All right, kiddos, you ready? Ready, break. Hey, special thanks to Bill and Kim Tompkins, who stood by our kids up here while they sang. Amen. We've always, we've been blessed to have people stand by our kids. But let me tell you who those people are. They're people who've made a choice. They miss services. They miss convenience. They miss Sunday school sometimes, and they choose to stand by our kids in different venues. And I just want to ask you this year, if maybe you might be one of those people, if God's tapping on your shoulder to stand by our kids, will you listen? Stand by them. What a good group of kids we have. What a bright future we can look at as we see these kids up here. It's a good thing, so stand by them. Amen. I'm glad to be with you. I started getting excited back there singing, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. It's just one of, I think we sang it last week too. We could sing it next week and the week after that as far as I care because that really nails it. If you're in church for some other reason than to adore Jesus Christ, well, then let me tell you why you should be here if you're not here for that reason. I'm glad you're here. But for those who know him, you realize he's got the top place. He's the top shelf. He's the star. He's the one. He's the only one worthy of adoration. He's the only one that you can seriously and sincerely pour your heart out and your life out to and him actually be worthy of that gift. The only one. There's none other. It's only him. And that's why we're here. We're going to talk about Jesus, his name, and his mission. Because his name really is his mission. When you get to looking at what Jesus is called, what the scripture says about what his name is, you start getting the idea of what his mission is. And I hope by the end of that, we get so excited that we do something really crazy. Like telling people about how awesome Jesus is to you. Telling people that if he can save someone like me, if he can rule this unruly soul that lives in my body, he can rule the unruly soul that lives in your body. If he can save you from eternal destruction through his sacrifice on the cross, then he can save me. And if he can save me, he can save you. Amen? And so that's all. We're going to look at Jesus. I hope that y'all get excited. If not, I'll just look out there and I'll see the bah humbugs. The old humdrums, Christmas as usuals, you know, all that stuff. But look, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to turn your mind to Christ this morning. That is becoming more and more challenged in our culture. The atheists take out billboards everywhere, and they say, take Christ out of Christmas. You know, they say, we're okay with Santa Claus, we're okay with the tree, we're okay with the cultural signs, but don't talk to me about the real stuff. Don't talk to me about the cross. Don't talk to me about the blood. Don't talk to me about the resurrection. Don't talk to me about the real Jesus. Oh, but who is going to save them but Jesus? And who is fit to rule this place but him? Let's look at the scriptures. And I'll read some, and I'll pray some, and just trying to get us excited. First, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Let me read them now, pray for us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for how you gave your son. It says a son is given. It's your son, your only begotten son, your beloved son, your perfect son, given not only as an example and a model, but a sacrifice. not only as a sacrifice, but as a king and a leader, a Lord. Help us, Father, to see Jesus for who he is, to accept his mission over our lives, that we might be the people with whom you're well pleased in this world. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. A thought kept occurring to me when we were singing, "O come, all you faithful, come. O come, let us adore him." And it's, who could you replace? How could you replace Jesus? Who could take his spot? Who could take his seat? Who could become the unifying factor of this whole universe? Who can become the sustaining power behind all that is? Who could take his spot? Of course, there's no one. So let's just read some of these things and see how his name and how his mission are so inclined, and see if you see the pattern in here. I kind of outline it a little bit in our second point, but just listen again to what his name is called. Who else could we call wonderful? Who else could we call wonderful? Who else is a counselor in the sense of knows you inside and outside? All human counselors can do is listen to what you say, look at what you do, but who knows you inside and out? Who could we ever call Mighty God? How can this one be called Mighty God? Who else deserves that place of being Mighty God or Everlasting Father or Prince of Peace? In this world, we lack fathers, we lack God who reigns, and we lack peace when you look at the culture. We have no sense of ourselves. We have no sense of who's at the top and who is the head. But if we look into the Word, we have no doubt who is. It's the one who's called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's who he's called. Who could live up to those names? I'm going to ask you every time, who could live up to those names? If you take the Bible to be reliable in the least bit, who could be called that besides Jesus? Besides the Son of God incarnate, who could be that Son? And what's his mission? His mission is to order and to establish an everlasting kingdom. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government. So he's going to be a ruler. He's going to sit on the throne. He is going to order and establish that which has no order. You know, that's what God has done from the very beginning. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the face of the earth was void. And the water was over there, but the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. And then he ordered it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be a difference between the water up there and the water here on the planet, and there was. He said, let there be ground that comes up and vegetation on that ground. And then let the air be filled with stars and all this. He ordered it. He established it. And you know what? Jesus is going to do that with you and me, with the kingdom of men. He is going to order a kingdom. You might say, well, we don't see that order. We don't see it yet, but it's coming. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ will be King of kings and Lord of lords. We'll get to that in a minute. But he's going to order and establish a kingdom. And can I tell you that personally he wants to order and establish your life? Not only is he going to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings, but he's willing to be your Lord and my Lord and your King and my King. Y'all, I am so Gen X, anti-establishment, anti-institution. It's scary. That's just how I grew up, not liking the institutionalized things. I don't trust folks. I don't trust people who lead our government, not because it's this administration. I've been that way for a long time. I don't trust the people who lead the big businesses. I don't trust the people who lead Wall Street. I don't trust people who lead just about anything. And it's not because they're bad people. It's because they're people. And I have a hard time trusting people, especially when there's a lot of money involved. But can I tell you something? I trust Jesus Christ. wholeheartedly to have my best interest, your best interest, God's best interest all in mind. I trust him to be the one ruler over everything. Over if there's going to be an economy, I trust him. If there's going to be business or politics, a government, it says, all of it, I trust him. I trust him 100% without a qualm. I trust him. I trust him to the point that I'd be willing to put my life in his hands. And if he said, it's my time to go, I trust him. It's my time to go, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to go with him. I trust him implicitly. And I'm going to tell you, in our day and time, we've lost so much trust in the leadership of things, in the institution of things, even in church. You know, church is not a trusted place like it used to be. Because there's been reasons given. Look, there's never going to be an appeal for me to say to you, y'all, trust me, and I'm going to take care of you. Let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you, trust Jesus, because that's who I trust to take care of me. That's who I entrust my family to when I pray. The one who's going to be the leader over all things. That's part of his mission. It's part of his name. Who ought to lead this thing? The one who could be called Mighty God. That's who ought to lead. Who ought to care for all of us children? The one who's called Everlasting Father, that's the one who ought to do it. His name and his mission go hand in hand. He's going to establish an everlasting kingdom of peace. Do y'all believe that? I believe it. I believe it's going to happen here. You know what? I don't believe anybody but God can do it. It's a God thing. You know, in this same book of Isaiah, it says that all the weapons of war are going to be turned into farming implements. So people won't even learn about it. There won't even be in schools. There won't even be in training. There might be some people in here might have to get another job at that time. But look, I believe God can do it. And I know, man, I talk to some of our police officers, and they see crazy stuff all the time. And it might be hard for them to believe that there can be a kingdom of peace. But I'm going to tell you, I believe Jesus can do it. I believe he can do it. And that's just letting you know, that's just part of who he is and part of what his plan is. Over in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1, I just want you to hear what Jesus' name is called and what his purpose is. In verses 18 through 25 in the Gospel of Matthew, it says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Two names in this passage, Jesus and Emmanuel. Both of them are interpreted. The second one, Emmanuel, you know is interpreted because it says, he shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's what that means. Emmanuel means God with us. Amen. That's part of his mission, is just to bring who he is, who God is, to be with us. No one else could do what he did besides God. But did you know Jesus' name is also interpreted? And we miss this a lot of times because we don't see it as an action point. But it goes right to what his mission is. His name and his mission are the same. Verse 21, it says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus means God saves. That's what it means. And that's right there, it's defined for us. He will save his people from their sins. One day, you and I are all going to face God. One day, we're going to all give an account for what we've done in this world with the time and the resources we've had. One day we're going to be face to face. How are you going to square with God? How are you going to make things right that are in the past and already been done wrong? What will you use to try to convince God that you are fit for heaven? And that last song, in a way in the manger, it says, come make us fit. Make us fit for heaven. Who do you have who can speak to God on your behalf? In our time, we try to get around this a couple ways. One, by not believing in God, really deep in our soul. I believe a lot of people who say, yeah, I think there's a God, they're just saying that. Because if they believe there's a God, I don't think they would probably do and say and live the way they were doing. They just say that because it's easier. It keeps people off their back. I believe in God. Just can we talk about something else? I believe there's somebody out there, but that's one way they get around this. God's not really paying attention. I'm not really paying attention to God, so he's not really paying attention to me. I'll never be accountable for my sins. The other way is we think we can outwork it. I believe there is a God, and I'm just going to do enough good to tip the balances in my scale somehow to where God will be impressed. God will be impressed with me. I've had opportunities to sit in court, sometimes for myself, sometimes supporting other people. And you know what? I've never, I can never imagine a judge of a serious crime saying, we're not going to punish you for this because of all the good you've done over here. There's going to be some kind of punishment. Now, some judges might get away with that, but I'm telling you, when you go to court, you're not going for the good you've done, you're going for the wrong you've done. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And what are we going to try to impress him with? I was charitable. I gave a 20 to the guy flying a sign in Walmart. I went to church. I did this stuff. What are we going to do? Who are we going to say? We're going to say, well, my pastor, he'll pray me out of hell. You better get a new pastor. I don't got that kind of prayer life, man. I don't got that kind of guts. I can't do it, man. I can't come on your behalf and save you from something. I'm not that kind of advocate. I can pray for you. I can support you. But you need Jesus Christ to be your savior from sins. There is no other way. There's no religious ceremony or ritual. You can walk around every special rock in this world 800 times a piece, and you still ain't done nothing that impresses God. It just doesn't matter. You and I need an advocate with the Father who the Father respects, and there's not but one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an advocate. He's a friend to sinners. That says, I died for them, Father. I paid the price for their sin. He don't even go up there and say that they're not sinners. Because that would be something weird. He doesn't try to convince them that we're good. Father, they're good. Really, if you just got to know this person, you would see that deep down in their heart, they're good. Do you know deep down in your heart means nothing? So what deep down in your heart? Big deal. This ain't Disney or Pixar, where deep down in your heart makes everything different and rainbows fly out of your eyes and stuff like that. You need to have a real relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ to be saved. Because if I got to know you and you got to know me, you want to know what you'd find deep in my heart? The same sin you'd find on the top and in the middle and in the backside and all around, because I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace and that's all I got. That happened to be enough to qualify me for a preacher's job. But I'm going to tell you, there's people trying to be good enough. There's people so trying to avoid what they think is nasty, trying to do what they think is good, not because there's a living relationship, because they think they're making a deal with God that eventually it's going to pay off. It don't pay off. God doesn't respect your wages. God doesn't honor your intercession for your own sin. He only honors that of the Son. Jesus has the name that means he's the Savior. Y'all got that? Jesus' name, his name means he's the Savior. Now, I know you can go to Mexico and you can find some people named Jesus, but that's not him. They're not the one. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. He's the only one. There's not hope in another. His name means it. So I know this isn't politically correct, but you can go down all the names of world religions and all the holy men and all the systems, and I'm going to tell you, they add up to zero. God respects none of them, but he respects the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. His name means the Lord saves. It's his mission and it's his name. In Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, we get a similar visit from an angel, but this is to Mary and not to Joseph, and it says this: Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? What's his name mean? This is a test. We're testing you. What does it mean? Yeah, the Lord saves. Three of the people here know that. And I need you three to tell the next three and the next three. Listen, how about, Jesus means the Lord saves. Can we say the Lord saves? Can we say it on three? Let's say that on three. One, two, three. We're going to say it one more time like we believe it, like from our guts, from our stomach. Raise your voice. On three, the Lord saves. One, two, three.
The Lord saves.
That's what Jesus' name means. That's what his name means. So his name's going to be called, but look at verse 32. He's got some other names here. He will be great and will be called Son, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Churches come and go, people come and go, books come and go, countries come and go. World powers ascend to the top, and they descend back down. And there's a challenge all in our culture, all in our world. Things don't last. Things are so temporary. My daughter today is, she's walking around with one of my old phones. It's a flip phone, And anyways, it was so funny to see it because now that, everybody has smartphones. I remember when I first started teaching college and I had that phone. And I wanted to tell all the students to turn their phone off. So I pulled that thing out of my pocket. Y'all see this? I said, yeah, what is it? Like, golly. I didn't know if it was like a transmitter from Star Trek or something like that. What is that thing? I said, this is a phone. Can you imagine trying to explain the old dial-up phones to somebody? So what do you got to do? So you pick it up and you listen. You even remember how to do this whole thing anymore? It's like, I don't even know, and it's got a cord, that pigtail cord, but those things are gone by and large. They're gone. Things change. Technology changes. You remember when there was, they have unleaded gas. You go and it still says unleaded. But do you remember when it used to be leaded? There'd be you could get regular leaded and unleaded. There's this option. They don't even have leaded gas. It's gone. Things come and go. Right? They just change. And I know those are puny examples, but there's bigger examples. Our country was in a Cold War with another superpower. What happened to that other superpower in the early 1990s? What happened to it? It was called Russia, by the way. It was the USSR. Remember how they were the bad guys in every action movie? The USSR. Always the bad. Where are they at? Well, they're trying to rise back up now, but what happened to them? They fell and became a bunch of aborting, drunken mobsters. They're on the rise now. But, they fell. What did China used to be? China used to be like this backwaters, backwards place nobody thought anything of. And what is it now? Now I'm already hearing that this is the economic superpower in our world today. Who would have thought that? That they say now, what about the hub of Christianity? This used to be the hub of Christianity. This was the Bible Belt. But now they say there's more born-again Christians in China than there are actual citizens in the United States. Over 300 million. Things change. Things come and go. But the kingdom of Christ will have no end. And I just want us to get that. What is he about? What does his name mean? When you say he shall be called the Son of the Highest, you need to know that he'll be the king of a kingdom with no end. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's his mission. That's his name. When we celebrate Christmas, man, we're celebrating the one who will reign forever and ever. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? Isn't it from Handel's Messiah or something? That's who he is. So this is the pattern I want you to see. And it's really in all the sections that I've given you. But I underlined it in this. If you want to say what Jesus' mission is, if you want to replace Jesus Christ, this is what you got to replace. The one who saves and the one who will reign forever. The one who can save and saves and the one who can reign forever. Because I'm going to tell you, when these people get into intellectual discussions about whether they need God or whether the gospel is relevant, I want them to finally explain who can save and who is worthy to reign an everlasting kingdom. And you can't find anybody but Jesus. And when you think about him, put him in those terms. You know, we have a term for that. We call him Savior and... yeah, let's try that again. The two things we say when we say Jesus, when we describe our personal relationship with him, what do we say? We say he's our Savior and... he's our Savior and...
Lord.
We need like some music. Boom, 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 boom. Savior and... bump, 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 bump. Savior and
Lord.
Woo! We got something now. He's our Savior and our Lord and our Savior means he's the one who can save us and he's the one who can lead us. And I don't know about you, but I don't trust nobody else to do any of those things for me. I don't trust a system. I don't trust a person. I don't trust anyone to be able to do those things for me and maybe even more importantly for my kiddos. Who do you entrust your kids to? Who can be Savior and Lord for your children or your grandchildren? Who are you going to say, this is who you look to, baby? This is who you look to. You look to Washington because they're going to save you. They're going to keep you from being starved to death. They're going to keep you in a home. They're going to provide for you because up in Washington, they're just going to do all that. Can we do that? Can you responsibly do that? Can you pile that to your kids? Or do you need to tell them, you know what, there's going to be a time When the government can't be there. There's going to be a time when the police can't get there in time. There's going to be a time when you better know the one who holds life in their hands. You better know that one. Because there won't be a time for anybody else to rescue you. There's not going to be a time when anyone else can provide for you. So babies, I want to teach you about Jesus. I want to show you who Jesus is. Because it's well-meaning, and we could say, hey, there's a lot of well-meaning people in leadership. I don't got anything against them, but I know that they can't save me, and I know they're not worthy of an eternal kingdom. Okay? There's only one who is. And let's look to the end of the book. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Verses 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written on that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name and his mission, they're the same. What's he called? He's called Faithful and True. Faithful and True, I love it. You can't get by the integrity of Jesus Christ. Not only does he tell you the truth, but he can uphold the truth he tells you. Always impresses me about him. He came and said, there's eternal life if you believe in the one God sent. And he can uphold that promise. People make outlandish promises all the time, but he can make them up. He's faithful and true. He sticks to his word, and he makes his word stick. He's called the Word of God. John uses a particular way of referring to Jesus as the Word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word for Word is Logos. Logos. He's the Logos. He's the Logos of God. That word Logos is where we get our word logic from. It has to do with logic and reasoning. The very reasoning of God was manifested in Jesus Christ. You know, this time of year, we say that Jesus is the reason for the season, don't we? Can I tell you, we can shorten that and just say, Jesus is the reason, period. He's the reason. He's the reason. It's not just for this season. He's the reason always. He's the reasoning and logic and wisdom of God personified. That's who he is. When it says he's the Word of God, that's what it means. He's the reason of God, the logic, the wisdom. He's all that wrapped up in one. Who can replace that? Who's wise like God? Only the Word of God. And his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So whoever you think is strong, whoever you think is powerful, I don't even want to be malicious, but sometimes you just want to see certain people come face to face with Jesus Christ. People who think they're powerful. I'd like to see Vladimir Putin come face to face with Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times he rides around with his shirt off and he'll be like on a horse and stuff, like, "Woo! I'm the man! I'm all powerful and stuff. I got tanks in the Ukraine. I'm the man!" Just like to see him come in face with the King of Kings. Historically, you know, people who just seem proud, you'd like to see him come to face with the one who is the Lord over all lords. All despots and rulers and dictators are all just drops in the bucket. He's the cream of all that. He's on top of all that. They're all in submission of him. And if you read through the Bible, you'll get to see how some of that happens. There's the king and the ruler of Babylon. If you look back in Isaiah chapter 14, we see when he doesn't get face to face with God, he gets face to face with hell. And they say, "Wow, you used to be so pompous, so arrogant, so haughty. And have you become weak like one of us? Are you going to be here where your bed and your cover are maggots? Are you here with us now? You are the one who said you ruled the world. Have you deceased now?" How many rulers who thought they were so powerful of these empires that have come and gone, and most of the kids our age, most of us, let's be honest, don't even know. Unless you're a history teacher, we have a history professor here, knows about the countries that have come and gone. How many people in here would be confident to tell me what the map of Europe looked like in the 1930s to 50s, after World War I, War I, before World War II? Who's confident to tell me what that is even now? Because it changed. And what was it before World War I? Because it changed. And what about the continent of Africa? What about those kingdoms and how all those countries set up? And who was the imperial power and who's the power now? It changes. It's gone, man. But there's one king who will reign forever and ever, and that's Jesus Christ. I love it. Does that fire y'all up? Are y'all fired up yet? Are you going to go to, listen, now you're going to go, and I know what's going to happen on Thursday. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're going to forget what I said today. But listen, may the Lord put in your brain an enthusiasm for the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's none like him in heaven and earth. None. No one. And when you come to be with your family, you be the one who stands up and says something about who Jesus Christ is. You be the one who everybody thinks is a little fruitcakey because you're so excited about who Jesus Christ is and about his kingdom coming, because you are the one who knows his name and knows his mission. Let me close with this example and then an invitation. I recognize that every time we meet, there could be people, and you could have come to this church for years, but you may not have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that. And so I try to give an invitation, and it's always open, okay? It's always an opportunity to say, "John, I want to get right with Christ All right, that opportunity is here because I'm telling you, there's no Savior and there's no Lord besides Him and Him alone. I want to give you this example of somebody in our church. We caught somebody doing something good. He's not here, but this is what I hope for us in Jesus' sake from Christ Community Church. Johnny Holman, Johnny and Pam, faithful folks here. Johnny's leading up the men's ministry that's starting. We prayed for his brother. His brother was lost, didn't believe in Jesus Christ, got cancer, and was battling with cancer. And God used that as a tool, and he came and gave his life to Christ and started witnessing to everybody in the hospitals, started telling people about Jesus, just became a mighty witness for the Lord. Well, he passed away a week ago today. He went to be with the Lord a week ago today. And I want to tell you something. They asked Johnny, his big brother, to lead in the service. You know, in my family, if somebody gets married or somebody dies, they're going to ask me. They're going to ask me. In Johnny's family, they're going to ask him. And it's because they know that there's something about it that we believe in Jesus and that we're going to talk about Jesus and that we're confident in the Lord. This is one of the things, here's a challenge for us, whether it's leading this Christmas prayer, whether it's with the family, or whether it's talking to people about the Lord. It had to be 8 years ago. I was witnessing to my cousin, whose name is John Goldwater, at the Goldwater Christmas supper up in Michigan, and I was witnessing to him. But I was really talking to my uncle, who was just hostile about Christ, and I was telling him about the gospel, and he was shooting me down, and we were just going back and forth, and Johnny was sitting here listening. If you go to YouTube and you punch in John Goldwater, you're going to not see me. You're going to see my cousin standing on a soapbox over in Germany where he lives with his family and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in very fluent German now because he ended up giving his life to Christ. The only other one in my family I really know of that's kind of within my age range, you know, and younger, that's come to follow Christ. Would you be that one in your family? Will you be that representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Will you be the one who does the prayer request or does the prayer or does the witness or just shares or just glows with the love of God so people ask you, what's going on? And you can say, it's Jesus, man. He's awesome. He really is. That song about come let us adore him, he's worthy of our adoration and worship. He's worthy of all that. We all be the one? That's the challenge. Be that one. Be that one. Let's close it. Close your eyes, bow your head. Father, Lord, I thank you. You gave a gift that can never be topped, can't be matched. There's none beside, none above, none in the ballpark of what you've given. Help us be representatives of that, of you. It's really not even of that. It's not as if we're representatives of the church, and we ought to be proud of our church. We ought to be, but it's really not about that. It's about you. It's about representing you. It's about sharing that witness and being the one who's proud of you. Would you help us, Lord? Thank you, Father, for what Johnny's done for his family. Not just his earthly family, but the heavenly family. He preached the gospel through tears at his little brother's funeral. Help us to be that one. Help us be that one. Not to make ourselves look good, but because you are so good to us. Now keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. I just want to pray. Is there anyone here I can pray for? I want to pray for you that you know Christ. Is anyone here not sure about knowing Christ? If you are, raise your hand up that I might pray for you. Raise your hand up. Why would you be unsure? When he's so willing to save, when he's so willing to lead, he's so willing. Why would you be hesitant? Why would you be unsure in your life? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, raise your hand up now. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the one and only, the beloved, the wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, mighty God, faithful and true, Son of the highest, Emmanuel, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Word of God. for all that you are and all that you do. We say, thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come down, and as they do, I'll pray for the offering. Lord, we pray that you would be just well pleased in who we are and what we're doing and where you have us. But we know that our grace, the grace we receive, comes through Christ, not through our efforts, not through our gifts. It comes through Christ, and truly it's a privilege to be able to honor you with an offering, with finances, and just to say, thank you, Lord. You're our God on whom we depend, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.